State v. Newman. You may proceed.
Good morning. Please the court. Good morning, opposing counsel. My name is Jason Troia. I'm here with Stu Dornan, and we represent the interests of Mr. Newman in this particular appeal. It's a very interesting case from a criminal defense standpoint, for someone that does criminal defense. He's got what I think are some very interesting issues and points. And as the court knows, this was a post-conviction petition written pro se. It was a little difficult to read. It didn't flow that well. It was a little convoluted. But I did my best to kind of parse through all his issues and organize them for this court in our appellant's brief. And one of the first issues I'd like to start with is his alibi. In his post-conviction petition, he alleged that he had discussed with his defense attorney, his trial counsel, that he was at one of two places during the times of the shootings. He was either at a food market called Chubb's Food Market.
Do we know when the shootings occurred?
No.
Okay.
There was
Did that create a problem with the alibi? Does that create a problem with the alibi?
I think it helps the allegations in the alibi or the way that it was structured. So if you're all familiar with ShotSpotter, Omaha Police Department has a ShotSpotter technology where they can actually record when shots go out. They didn't have that evidence in this particular case. So what they did was they had some witnesses that had heard various things and they tried to construct a timeline. Okay. So one of the witnesses they had was one of the deceased wives, and Brenda Gibler, and she said that she had some communications with her husband, Mr. Morales, earlier that day, that it was around 2:15 or so in the afternoon on December 2nd, that she decided to go to his shop and find out what's going on, where is he at, why hasn't he been returning my calls. So we know that it happened sometime prior to 2:15 because that's when she found the bodies. Okay.
She dropped him off before.
I can't remember if she dropped him off, but...
I was thinking.
Okay, and you might be right, and I'm sorry about that. I didn't focus on how he got there. But I know that there was testimony that he was there earlier that day, and they actually talked sometime before noon. So before noon, 2:15, somewhere in that time frame. Now, as part of the post-conviction petition, there was a witness, I'm going to pronounce his name as Pepra, Alex Pepra. So that's something that you'll find in the petition, but was not in the actual trial. Of course, though we're in post-conviction at this stage, the defendant is trying to expand the record with evidence that was out there that was not presented to the court, the jury, and obviously this court on appeal then, other than in his ineffective assistance arguments. So Alex Pepra is right near the shop. He himself is having some work done on a vehicle with someone by the name of Hugh. And one of the things he's doing is he's standing his vehicle. And so he's right there in the immediate area. At, based upon his timeline, at 1:15, he hears pow, pow, pow. And they're in a shop working on a car. Not sure exactly what that is. Hugh is in maybe an adjacent office to where the shop is, where he's sitting in the car. They have the bay door closed there. And Hugh comes out of the office. Did you hear that? And then again, pow, pow. There's two more pows. And Hugh says, that's gunfire. And they don't decide to investigate, but Pepra puts that at 1:15. He had a pretty concise timeline based upon when he left his house, when he got to Hugh's shop, when he hears the pow, pow, pow. And then about 45 minutes after the pow, 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 he hears a woman scream. That turns out to be Brenda Gibler, who is arriving at the other shop, Morales' shop, and finds the bodies. So Alex Pepra put a timer at 1:15 for the time of the shooting. There was another woman that did not justify travel. Sonia Pays. Sonia got some takeout food just before 1 o'clock, had the receipt for it. I want to say it was 12:54 or 12:56 p.m. She's driving right down by the shop. She doesn't see anybody running. She doesn't see any guns. She doesn't hear any gunfire, but she does see two individuals, not African-American, that are right outside the shop with next to two vehicles. And she just noticed that, you know. So trying to put this together, are those the two responsible? Did they hear anything? Did they see anything? So those are two witnesses that you find in the post-conviction petition by Mr. Newman that were not from the trial, to answer your question about the timeline. Brenda Gibler's timeline was even, her last time talking to him was a little, well, was unsupported by the evidence. She thought that she had last talked to him about 1:45. But when investigators pulled cell phone records for the cell phone attributable to her husband and her cell phone records, it did not match that there was a completed phone call or even an attempted phone call then. So that didn't help the timeline. The state argued in closing that it was around 12:30 p.m. And I can't remember if they said around or at or near approximately, but it was one of those qualifying that qualifying terminology to say that it could have been a little before or it could have been a little after. So the cell phone records then for one of the co-defendants, who I'm going to be arguing for next on the docket, Mr. Strickland, his cell phone records show that at 12:34 p.m., his cell tower is utilizing, his cell phone is utilizing a cell tower that's a few miles away. And then a short time later, it's even farther away. So because the state took the position that Mr. Strickland was there as well, and we know where he's at 4 minutes after the shooting, or the shootings, if he's guilty, or he's our suspect, then the shooting must have happened before 12:34, because we know he's not at that location at 12:34.
How definitive is the evidence with respect to the cell towers as establishing location of an individual?
Well, in this particular case, they did not use what's referred to as triangulation, where, like, I don't know if you have an iPhone or some of those, with GPS and everything nowadays, you can actually pinpoint to the house that a person is at. They did not use that technology. All they used was a cell tower location. So the cell towers...
Is this undisputed, which gives you some information, but not definitive information?
Yeah, what's undisputed is that Mr. Newman's... The cell phone that was attributed to Mr. Newman by a girlfriend who testified that he had possessed this phone and used this phone was that he was within the area of a particular cell tower, and it splits into three different quadrants. And the quadrant that would encompass a person receiving or making a phone call from the shop where the homicides took place, his cell phone was pinging at or near that time in that same quadrant, if that answers your question.
Thank you.
But it's not down to the address or the block. It's a radius, or a quadrant of a radius. So the second thing, real quick, I want to get to, because the court said two things. Number one, court and state combined. Number one, Newman's alibi said he was at Chubb's or Clayton's at or near the time of the shootings.
What do the allegations tell us about where Chubb's is physically? How do we know?
Yeah, it's not in the petition. So he didn't allege that it would explain why his cell phone might be pinging off those towers or not. That was silent in his petition. The Chubbs, though, I looked it up, so it's not in the record, but Chubbs is within 2 miles of the shop where the homicides took place. Clayton's Barbecue, I couldn't find the listing these days for Clayton's Barbecue, so I'm not sure. And that, again, that information was on the petition.
And you're not suggesting that we should be doing our own research?
No. I think that's for the evidentiary hearing that the district court should be having. Good thing I have another 10 minutes next.
I beg your pardon. That's time. Is that correct? Thank you very much. Ms. Faust.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stacey Faust, Assistant Attorney General representing the appellee of the state of Nebraska. The state maintains that the district court correctly denied Newman an evidentiary hearing because his claims are either insufficiently pled or they're without merit. I will discuss the alibi, as that seems to be the most important claim here discussed today. It is the state's position that these allegations are not sufficient because they leave open for speculation what at or near means, and they don't definitively state that Newman was anywhere else at the relevant times. As Justice Stacey pointed out, we don't even know where these locations are at. We don't know how close to the shootings they are, which poses exactly why this at or near language is problematic for the defendant. There was a definite period of time for the state's theory, 11:33 a.m. to 12:36 p.m., and Newman could have easily accounted for those if he had an alibi within his allegations, and he didn't. I would also point out that his alleged alibi contradicts other arguments he's made, such as that the cell tower by the auto shop could have serviced his phone while he was at home. So we have him saying, well, I could have been at Chubb's Foods, I could have been at Clayton's Barbecue, now, oh, I could have been at home. So which is it? And it's the state's position that he's kind of throwing whatever he can at the wall to see what will stick here. I'll also note that he cannot show prejudice because Ferreira Gutierrez specifically identified Newman and Strickland as the perpetrators. And he didn't get so lucky in that he testified truthfully. He had to have testified truthfully because the cell phone evidence corroborated his testimony. What I was trying to say is, how does he get so lucky to identify two separate people as the shooters, and then lo and behold, the cell phone evidence shows they're communicating with each other all morning long. Newman is calling the victim several times in the morning. An eyewitness doesn't get that lucky, and that's why he can't show prejudice. The cell phone evidence corroborates Herrera Gutierrez's testimony.
What about the allegations of ineffective assistance going to investigation of specific witnesses that are alleged would impeach?
Such as Sonia Pace and Alex Pepra.
Would you address that?
Yes. The allegations were that they would corroborate Brenda Gibler's testimony, and the cell phone records refuted Brenda Gibler's testimony. Also, the fact that they would have testified that they heard things after 1 o'clock or saw different people outside at 1 o'clock, it still doesn't exculpate Newman and Strickland as the shooters. And furthermore,
is that the standard, that it needs to be exculpatory?
It doesn't, but I think it adds to the fact that it has to be a reasonable probability that it would have resulted in a different outcome. And when you have that in combination with, we have an actual eyewitness to the shooting and the cell phone evidence that corroborates his testimony, there's not going to be a reasonable probability that the outcome of the, because you have an eyewitness versus two witnesses who didn't see anything. I will address any of the other claims that this court has questions on, but as I said before, I think that the court correctly denied Newman an evidentiary hearing on every one of his claims, either because they were insufficiently pled or they're without merit. And I will stress that, yes, it's the state's position that it's because the eyewitness to the shooting that was corroborated by the cell phone evidence.
Well, after the direct appeal in this case, Mr. Newman filed a motion for a new trial. Is that right?
Yes.
Are any of the claims that were raised in that motion related to any of the claims being raised in the post-conviction motion?
The motion for a new trial, the juror misconduct issues. I think he's trying to relitigate what was already decided by this court on direct appeal with the juror misconduct issues. That was in the motion for new trial. I don't recall if there's any other issues, but that was the main one on direct appeal.
After the direct appeal, there was another post-conviction motion, wasn't there?
There was, with regards to he wanted to recuse the district court judge for her demeanor during the trial. That was, but I don't think that's one of Newman's claims. I think that's one of Mr. Strickland's claims, and that was affirmed on appeal as well.
No request for a new trial based on new evidence, on newly discovered evidence?
I don't recall, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Could you address the argument that Mr. Newman makes that he should have been given leave to amend his post-conviction?
Yes, that was first raised in his reply brief. It wasn't raised in his initial brief, and therefore he has waived those times of error.
First raised in his reply brief in this appeal?
Yes.
Thank you. Other questions?
Thank you.
You're excused with respect to that matter.